I'll mention a few ideas with regards to Purim. First of all, a reminder that if you are planning to eat before the fast tomorrow, so then you have to make a tanai, ideally a verbal tanai, verbal stipulation that planning on eating before the fast. This is a reminder that ideally you should get up more than 30 minutes before alos. If you're going to have a large meal, if you're going to eat a small amount, then you can do that within the 30 minutes before alos hashachar, before daybreak. But it's only if you're going to be eating a larger meal that a person would have to wake up and start eating 30 minutes before that slot. That's just for tomorrow. So if you're planning on eating, you should have that in mind for tomorrow. If a person, back to Megillah, if a person doesn't have Megillah on Purim, how does he fulfill his obligation? So the Gemara says, Kriyasa Zuhi Hilula. Why don't we say Halal on Purim? The reason why we don't say Halal on Purim is because of the fact that the reading of the Megillah is considered a halal. What if a person doesn't have a Megillah to be able to be read from on Purim? Reading a Megillah means literally the scroll itself. If you don't have the scroll itself, then you would actually say halal on Purim. We don't otherwise say halal, but you would say halal because Kriyas Zui Hilula, if you don't actually have a Megillah, you would recite halal. Even if you had a Chumash with a Megillah in it, even if you had a Megillah booklet with a Megillah in it, even if you had a phone with a Megillah in it, it would not be constitute reading the Megillah, and therefore if a person did not have that, they would read it. It's a nice thing to do. It's quoted as a nice thing to do to read the story of the Megillah itself or to read the Megillah, but you didn't fulfill your obligation of reading the Megillah, and therefore, if you didn't actually have a Megillah or go to a reading where someone was reading from a kosher Megillah, you would recite Halal without a bracha. That's how you would do it seemingly both night and day. That's how it would be done, that reciting Halal without a bracha. So again, it's not most people in regular cities don't have this issue, but it's important. There are people that actually are faced with this particular issue. Could be someone's in a hospital, there's someone that can't read for them, in scenarios like that. In that scenario, what they would do is they would just simply go ahead and they would say halal without a bracha. That's how they feel their obligation. and this is also important halacha that happens, and we never remember to say it, so we just say it now. If a person comes late to Megillah reading, and therefore they miss the brachos of Megillah, what do they actually do? So, I can't announce it in shul, because we're already in the middle of whom am I going to say it to? It's not going to help. I'm going to announce it now, and then you're going to motion to somebody else. The answer is you have to know ahead of time. If your person's late to Megillah reading, and they miss the brachos that are being recited from Megillah, so ideally what they should do is they should just recite the brachos right when they come. They say them by themselves. They should try to be listening, whatever they can, to the chazan, because they're going to have to make up what they missed. So if they're in the chazan, in the middle of the first chapter of Megillah, so they have to read that first parak because they missed it already with him, they also have to be saying the brachos. So they have to say the brachos quickly and then catch up by reciting those words that they actually missed of the overall Megillah and catch up. Again, as we mentioned last week, that if a person missed the majority of Megillah reading, they didn't feel his obligation. But if he missed a few things here and there, then it's technically okay. So if a person did come in late to hear the Megillah reading, he should just say the blessings by themselves, by themselves, and then catch up, read the Megillah from beginning, and catch up. It doesn't help that you just, it's not like a sports game, you picked it up in the third quarter, and you kind of got everything. You have to actually have the entirety of the Megillah being read, whether it's by you or by them, but you actually have that from beginning to actual end over there. Therefore, say the brachos and catch up by reading inside, so you get up to what the chazan is actually all about. As a reminder, we don't say Baruch HaRuch Shemo when the bracha is being recited because of the fact that we're fulfilling our obligation. So anytime you're fulfilling an obligation of something, you don't want to interrupt it with the phrase of Baruch HaRuch Shemo because the bracha itself is needed for you to hear from beginning to end in that bracha. Next idea, and that is with regards to the night of Purim. There is an inyan that the Ramah mentions, and that is by having a Suda Ktsas, you should have a small meal the night of Purim. So here we're going to have that meal the night of Purim. That meal technically is supposed to wash for, similar to the one in the daytime. There's a mitzvah to have a meal in the daytime, as we know. That's the main mitzvah, the mitzvah of Suda Ktsas, of small mitzvah, of a small Suda. One should have the night of Purim as well. Ideally you should wash, but there's actually no obligation to have meat at that Suda. But in your daytime Suda, there is an obligation to have meat. It's considered almost like a Yom Tov Suda. Therefore, you should have meat. If a person doesn't like meat or chicken and the like, then they can have whatever they want. But if they do eat meat or chicken, then they should have those at the day meal, which means the day of Purim meal. The night of Purim meal, there's no obligation for that. There's also a long-standing minhag that people that have nuts and seeds at the night meal, and that is commemoration because of Esther, who was in the King Ahasuerus' palace, as well as Daniel, who was there as well. They ate nuts and seeds because they did not want to eat anything non-kosher, and they did not even want to eat Bishul Akum, so therefore they subsided off of nuts and seeds during that time. So that is the idea of the night of the Suda of Purim. Just to mention, we did mention before, the daytime Suda that you have, you should finish the bulk of your eating before sunset. That's the idea of what you should do. So as long as you start the meal with enough time, then you should finish it before sunset. B'dieved, as long as you started your meal before sunset, then it is okay as well. When it comes to giving money for Matanos Avyonim, for gifts to the poor, you cannot use Miser money for that, because Miser is something that within the realm of you're not obligated. And anytime you have an obligation of a mitzvah, then you can't use Miser money for it. But if a person, let's say, had $100 worth of Miser, they wanted to give, so they had to give Matanos Avyonim, which we said is about $20, per person that you're going to give. So it's $20 per person. So the remaining you can give for Miser money. It's not a problem. It's just that the first 20 has to come from money that you're using particularly for this mitzvah. Also, if you promise that you were going to give tzedakah towards something else, which means you had in mind, okay, I pledged whether in your mind or verbally that you were going to give money to tzedakah, then that money you can't double up and use the matanos avyonim. So if you said, oh, I'm going to give $50, to poor people, and then someone's like, oh, by the way, Purim, you have to give money. Oh, fine, I'll use that money that I said I was going to give. You can't. That's called Nidrei Tzedakah. Nidrei Tzedakah now becomes under a chob, becomes an obligation. Therefore, you have to give that separately, and you would also have to give Matanos Avyonim separately as well, so you cannot actually combine the two. Whether that or Miser, you can't combine it, but once you've given your first $20, then that would be enough to fulfill your obligation of Matanos Avyonim. And anything else on top of that could come from that Nidrei Tzedakah. It could come from your Miser money as well, and that would be enough. When it comes to children or people in your family, everyone has an obligation. Women also have an obligation to give Matanos Avyonim. So therefore, the husband can have in mind that they're going to give on behalf of the wife. The wife can tell the husband, or husband can tell the wife, I'm going to give on your behalf. But everybody has an obligation. Anyone who's above the age of Bar Bat Mitzvah, then they have an obligation to give Matanos Avyonim. Even if a person is Somech al Shulchan Aviyam, even if a person is living in their father's house, and the father's paying for them and supporting them, nonetheless, since today people do have their own monies, they also have to give Matanos Avyonim. Again, that should be, as we mentioned, enough for two meals, one meal per poor person. And that's what we said today. It's probably about $10. Who knows with inflation, maybe that went up. But we assume you can get a small meal for approximately $10, and that would be enough. But that would even be children in the house. They would also have an obligation to give Matanos Avyonim. Not necessarily clear that children under Bar Mitzvah actually have an obligation to give Matanos Avyonim, but certainly above Bar Mitzvah, they would have an obligation to give Matanos Avyonim.